It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Canary. I'm alongside Chris Carino, Mahdi Dembele. Guys, we got an action-packed episode in store for you. We're going to be breaking down UFC 295 at the Mecca this weekend. Oh, I cannot wait. The Big Apple, I mean, they come pretty much once a year, and every single year it is always, always, always an exciting card, whether it be multiple title fights, just big blockbuster fights. It's a fun time to be a fight fan. But first, guys, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Obviously, you know, you could feel a level of disappointment kind of going into this weekend of kind of what the card could have been. But, you know, if you look at it kind of in the grand scale and really, you know, go all the way out on it, it's just Madison Square Garden UFC events are just so awesome. Obviously, the last one we had, similar main eventer, actually, funny enough. But it's just always a different kind of feel, maybe just because it's different, maybe because it's unique, maybe because it's just the Mecca. But I'm definitely excited for this weekend. And, it's a whole different aura around the fights when they're on that street on 7th Ave.
UFC 295, I got to tell you, Dana White put his foot in this one. I mean, coming off of what we had last time with the Derek Lewis, Yalton Almeida, whatever that was, I'm glad it's coming back to the Garden. Every time it comes back to the Garden, I always think back to 205. Conor McGregor, yeah. Eddie Alvarez, that insane card that I begged my parents to go to and they didn't get me tickets and I like didn't talk to them for like a week. But it's back in New York and I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, no, I mean, it will be an awesome night. And I will say, it is a little disappointing with the context of the John Jones fight falling through due to that pectoral muscle injury. Definitely a little bit disappointing. But, I mean, I will say, in the replacement fight of Tom Aspinall and Sergey Pavlovich, I mean, I don't think you could have really shored up this card any possible way better. I mean, with a interim heavyweight belt, I mean, I know everyone's kind of a little tired of interim belts at this point, but given kind of the whole status of the heavyweight division, I feel like this is kind of like the legitimate belt at this point. Yeah. So some real exciting stuff. But before we get into that UFC 295 card, I do want to divert our attention to last week's fight night, which was UFC Fight Night Almeida versus Lewis that happened in Brazil. Mahdi, yeah, I could tell by your sigh over there, you definitely weren't a big fan of that fight, and that's pretty much just kind of what I want to talk about with this. Derek Lewis looked pretty not great, I'm going to be honest with you. The only thing that really impressed me with him was his submission defense. It looked like that was pretty on point. He was able to avoid some really bad spots throughout the fight. But other than that, it just left a lot to be desired. A lot of stuff that I have problems with Derek Lewis, and I was hoping that he would fix going into this fight. He just straight up didn't fix at all. And also on the other side of this fight too, I felt like Jelton Almeida really did not push the pressure in this fight where he needed to against a big name. So I kind of just want to mention that fight. Do you guys have any takes whatsoever on it, or were you just so bored that you don't even want to talk about it?
You know, I was really, really excited for this fight because I felt like both men had something to gain from this fight, right? Two high names. Well, they carry a lot of name and pedigree that comes with their names. Derek Lewis, I want to say he has the most knockouts in UFC history. He's obviously a big character, the Black Beast. We love it when he makes us laugh. And coming off his last fight against Marcos Rogério de Lima, I mean, you saw the flying knee. To see that from that big of a guy, from that big of a star, it basically earned him his next UFC contract. And to come out flat like that against Yalton Almeida kind of bring me back to that whole thing where he was supposed to fight Francis Ngannou, also a very flat fight. I can see him on his way down. He's 38 years of age. I don't see him getting better. And frankly, I'm disappointed in the Black Beast. I got to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I think style makes fights. I think that's a lot of kind of what the UFC and Dana tries to do, and you know, the whole jiu-jitsu isn't real kind of thing. It's funny, like when he just stands up, like it's hilarious because it's like so true with all those stupid jiu-jitsu nerds. But I do think when you kind of do this, it can totally backfire on you when you're not really looking at the right places. Like a 38-year-old guy, you know, two guys that are kind of on the cusp, as Mahdi said, and could really make themselves make something of themselves in this position. But when two guys aren't just kind of ready for it and neither are really kind of lighting the match and really getting it going, it kind of just makes a boring fight, and the style that makes fights kind of almost jumbles it up and almost makes it worse, kind of in my opinion. So
yeah, no, definitely. And I think that Derek Lewis is kind of the epitome of the like saying that style makes matchups, because I feel like based on who he's fighting, it could either be a fight of the year candidate, knockout of the year candidate, or something that we got last weekend.
Exactly.
So, you know, a little bit disappointing, but I will say a win is a win for Jailton Almeida. He's moving up that heavyweight ranking, still undefeated in the UFC. I think he did ruin his finish streak that he had going, which was like four or five fights, which is a little disappointing. And I think that's the main thing. Yeah, I was just, you know, disappointed. I want to see a little more out of him. But, hey, like I said, a win is a win. And he'll be moving up that heavyweight division, which is in big implications for this weekend's card at UFC 295. Guys, I mean, I think we'd be doing a disservice if we just didn't jump right into one of these title fights here. I'm just going to start talking about this co-main event, which got scheduled, like we said, in the fallout of that John Jones cancellation. Sergey Pavlovich is taking on Tom Aspinall for the interim heavyweight belt in the co-main event. Guys, I'm so, so excited for this fight. And honestly, I think that this was a lot quicker of a turnaround for both of these fighters than I was initially expecting. And also a quicker rise to the top and getting a title shot than I was really expecting. And I think that was obviously because of the John Jones injury. They had to fill the moment with something. But I'm glad that this is, you know, a really, really competitive fight, and there's a lot of angles to cover it from. But guys, what do you like about this fight?
Yeah, it's interesting. I like the kind of debate that's been happening over the last month or so, kind of saying, should this even be an interim fight? Maybe they should just, you know, it should be the heavyweight title fight. I think it's interesting kind of dialogue people are having, even though I still think, you know, you got to take the crown off the king in order for him not to be the king anymore. I kind of feel that way. But, you know, kind of diving into this actual fight, I think if they both had 12-week fight camps, I think Sergey would probably be in trouble. And I think that this would be, I think Tom would just absolutely roll him over. But with the quick turnaround and the short notice, I think Pavlovich really gains an edge there and gains, you know, some confidence even maybe. It's such a big fight, such a big moment in his career. Kind of need all that confidence you can get. So I think Pavlovich will come through with it. But it's an interesting spot where this heavyweight division's going, because a lot of the star power is kind of leaving. That whole DC, Miocic, and then Ngannou kind of era really sort of coming to an end right now. Interesting to see if these guys have that kind of star power, have that kind of draw ability, because kind of look at the back end on that era, Ngannou wasn't really a draw. If you look at the Fury Ngannou numbers for how they did on pay-per-view, you'll see that he's not much of a draw. But then it's interesting to see if they can really reinvent this heavyweight division, make this heavyweight division blockbuster, make it box office, which I really don't think it's been in a long time, and I think it's honestly doing a disservice to the company. I feel similarly about how I feel about the Yankees and the Cowboys. When they're good, the league is doing really well. It's really good for the league. I feel the same way about the UFC. The heavyweight division is successful and profitable. The UFC is just in a better place as a whole. So I think this is kind of the infancy of that. This is kind of the birth of that. Could see if this is a, you know, fight of the year candidate and they really just let it fly in the garden, could be a whole new birth, whole new excitement in that heavyweight division. But honestly, I'm just kind of perplexed by all the uncertainty kind of on the event right now and just how many different ways this can go.
I think you made two good points, Carino. The first one was the length of time and the fact that he stepped in. I want to say that Sergey Pavlovich is the number two contender division and Aspinall is around four or five, both top five guys. I just think Tom Aspinall is a star in every sense. He suffered a freak injury, I want to say, last year to Chris Curtis. Otherwise, he is a machine. He's going after John Jones. He's calling out guys. I want them. I think he now has the shortest average fight time in the UFC, which is like 2 minutes and 19 seconds. Tom Aspinall is such a star. He's somebody that you could build a brand around.
Again, yeah, Mati, they fought like a combined like 30 minutes in the UFC, the two of them.
It's ridiculous what Tom Aspinall and Sergey Pavlovich are doing. You mentioned Francis Ngannou, and we talked about Francis Ngannou a couple of while ago. What he has essentially done is position himself as almost a Conor McGregor, where the fight world revolves around him and only him, and he's the big money guy. I think Tom Aspinall, I know Sergey Pavlovich had more time to get prepared. I just think he's a star, and I think he has that in him eventually sometime in the future. I think he could capture the heavy. I think he's going to win this fight. I think he could capture the heavyweight title, and I think he could position himself something like that. There's just something about that guy. He has the juice, as they would say in this business.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would agree with you in terms of just him having the personality to be a real star in the UFC. But I think that what really makes him kind of exciting in this position is that he can back it up with his technique. I mean, if you just want to look like, you know, some of the accolades, some of the shortest fights in UFC history and shortest average fight time. And other than that one TKO due to knee injury, he's been pretty much perfect in the UFC. He actually has been perfect in the UFC other than that injury loss due to Curtis Blaydes. And since then has come back and got a TKO win over Marcin Tybura. But this guy is so good. I mean, he can back it up anywhere. I mean, you just want to go to what he can do on the ground, choking out Andre Arlovsky in like under like a couple minutes and just kind of like ragdolling him, or doing like a really nice setup for an elbow against Sergey Spivak. Just really technical stuff that you don't see at the heavyweight division. But I will say the one thing that is worrying me, though, is that knee injury. I mean, he still experienced that, I believe, let me check the date. Yeah, July of 2022. And I believe it was a full ACL tear. So obviously he took a lot of time out to get ready for or, you know, recover for it. And he did have his comeback fight, which obviously I said before was successful. But also, Marcin Tybura isn't the toughest competitor in the world at the heavyweight division. I see our producer, Zach, smirking over there at me. He definitely agrees. So I'm just a little worried at the kind of status of the opponents that he's fighting recently, like very recently, obviously, just with that Tybura fight. But also, if you just want to kind of really dig into his record, the Alexander Volkov fight, pretty impressive. But if you keep going down just throughout the throughout his record, there's just a couple fighters that like I would just love to see, you know, just I just want to see kind of more of a depthy record pool, if that makes any sense, a bit more skilled opponents that he's gone up against, because I feel like on the other side in Sergey Pavlovich, I feel like he's kind of done that. I mean, you want to look at the Curtis Blaydes fight, the Tai Tuivasa fight, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Derek Lewis, I mean, who's taken a big big toll, I guess, for this week's episode and last week. But I feel like he's fought a lot more kind of greater caliber of opponents. So I feel like Pavlovich might be a bit more prepared heading into this fight. But I don't know. Do you guys think about this matchup a little bit differently?
I want to get, because producer Zach seems to have the body language of a guy who thinks that Aspinall's a star. And I just, could you just give me your quick two cents on why you think Tom is so great?
I mean, he's well-rounded. I think we saw it. We've seen it in terms of like how he's able to finish fights so quickly over and over again. But I think in this matchup particularly, it's just who lands a bigger shot first. Or if Aspinall takes him down. But we've seen the awesome power of Pavlovich. I think even though Tom hasn't necessarily had like the toughest opponents, Pavlovich has had favorable matchups in terms of, like, he fought a Tai Tuivasa, who's somebody who's going to stand and bang with him. He fought a Derek Lewis, who's going to want to stand and bang with him. Those are matchups that favor him in this point in his career when he hits so hard. He's going to take anybody down. Or he's going to knock anybody out at that point. But to me, Aspinall is very well-rounded. This fight goes over a round. I think it favors him. I don't think the gas tank's a problem because he's someone who's always training. He said it several times. He trains two times a day, even when he's not in camp. So I think this fight goes over a round. I think it favors him, but I think it could really go either way. But I think Aspinall really does have the makings of a star.
Does he have the drawing ability? Do you think it'll like kind of perch up back that heavyweight division?
I think in terms of like
into relevancy.
I think the English fan base is like something that's grown over the recent years with Leon Edwards being a recent champion now.
Darren Till was the original.
Yeah. I think he can definitely capture that market. If he can win this fight, and then maybe, I don't know what Jones' plans are, if he's going to retire after the next one or he's going to keep going. But if he could possibly get a John Jones fight after Jones fights blanking on the name. After Jones fights Miocic, if he can get that fight and be able to take on a John Jones, even beat him maybe, I think that's a fight he could win. That would just propel him into ultimate stardom.
Aspinall versus Bones at the O2 Arena in London would be something.
That would
else.
Actually
it would
crazy.
Be something else. I feel like it's one of those things, especially when it comes to John Jones. I think I got to see it to believe it.
Right,
but Zach, I 100% believe in your point, because in the fight game, what I think is most important is not just who you face, but how you face them. I think the best example of this is probably Deontay Wilder. Right, as he was coming up, he was fighting guys like Kelvin Price. Who's Kelvin Price? Does anybody know who Kelvin Price? Zach, I know me and you are deep into boxing. You watch Kelvin. Almost took him out the ring, and he draws eyes like, oh my god. So I understand that Tom Aspinall's fight record isn't deep. He's not like John Jones, who fought like 15 world champions, but it's the way that he does it. It's something about it. You could pinpoint it and look at that guy's a star. I love Tom Aspinall. I just think he has that in him. I really, really do.
Yeah, one last thing I do want to highlight in this fight before we kind of go around the round table and give our picks and predictions is that Sergey Pavlovich isn't perfect in the UFC. He actually lost during his debut, and that was surprisingly against Alistair Overeem. And that was not during like the Uberim era or anything like that. That was, if you really want to go like deep into the UFC memes, that was the economical Overeem era, where he was really focused on running around. And using
economical
technique
over him is
economical.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but anyway, though, he beat him pretty bad. It was round one TKO, and it looked like he just kind of picked him apart due to technique and just kicks and punches and elbows. Just a really nice Muay Thai kickboxing performance. I think that Sergey Pavlovich has gotten a lot better since then. I think he's gotten a lot more UFC experience. But I will say, though, it's interesting to look at him being beaten by a very technical heavyweight and then looking across on the other side of the octagon this weekend at Tom Aspinall, who is kind of touted as a very similarly styled, extremely technical heavyweight that has a lot of intangibles, or I guess tangibles, in terms of speed and skill and everything like that. So with that all being said, I think I'm kind of going more towards Tom Aspinall here. I think that, like you said, Zach, if it gets out of the first round, I definitely give him the edge, which is interesting considering that both of you guys have never really been out of the first round. But I think Aspinall does have the better gas tank, so I could see maybe a second round, third round TK or submission, honestly. I think it could pan out either way, just due to the opportunities. But I guess I'll go clockwise here, Zach.
I'm going to take Aspinall. I like him. I like the overall like well-rounded game. I think Pavlovich has, I mean, the thing is you can't ever be too sure in heavyweight. Pavlovich has awesome power, and he can put anybody out in this division. So it takes one. It could go either way. I'm going to lean towards Aspinall, especially if the fight goes over a round.
Sergey Pavlovich, again, he has awesome power, but Tom Aspinall, the technique, the power that he possesses, just the tangibles and the intangibles. And we talk about wrestling. We talk about how the only guy in the division who could wrestle is Curtis Blaydes. Well, here comes Tom Aspinall. He's pretty good on the ground, too. Give me the star. I'm on the train completely. Tom Aspinall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start speaking in a top boy accent. I was originally Pavlovich and I walked in here, but I've been convinced. I think the short fight camp isn't going to be as big of a factor as maybe I originally thought. And he just seems like, he even said it in an interview with ESPN, Aspinall, where he talked about he's taking kind of influence from that journey that Leon took to the gold. And I'm the biggest Leon guy. Like, Leon's my boy. So I got to ride with the rest of the UK.
Gotcha.
I'm taking Aspinall.
There you go. There you go, folks. Those are the picks in. And I will
headshot
say,
dead, of course.
Of course. Yeah, I have not talked to Riley Lucas, but I already know she's picking Pavlovich 100%.
Yeah. Oh, my
so,
God.
So, yeah, we'll talk to her next week. During next week's episode, see what she has to say.
That doesn't work for us, Andrew. Me and you. That doesn't work for us at all.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll see how it pans out, though. I think Aspinall wins this fight, but hopefully. Maybe we just jinxed it right now, but who knows. Moving on, though, to the main event of this UFC 295 card is Jiří Procházka making his long-awaited return, taking on Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight belt. Guys, this is a blockbuster matchup. Alex Pereira, I believe, is perfect at MSG right now. I think he's 2-0, and I've seen both of those fights in person. It was really, really impressive stuff from him, and he just looks kind of unbeatable right now, unless if your name is Israel Adesanya, and even at that point, maybe not so much even, you know?
I thought of this kind of on the way here when I was thinking about the card again, like, Alex is such a destroyer. Like, that Izzy fight was such an anomaly because I think that's the best Izzy there's, like, ever been. Like, I think Izzy was at the top of his powers in that fight. I think he was the most motivated he could have ever been. I don't think you can motivate a guy better than, you know, losing to a guy multiple times and really needing to prove your legitimacy and get your belt back. I don't think it's the same guy that fought Strickland a couple months ago, obviously. But I think Alex is just such a destroyer. Like, when you watch him get in the octagon against anybody and you see whatever weight class he's fighting at, does not matter. He could be fighting at heavyweight. You're just scared of that guy. You're scared of the power that guy beholds. When he does that arrow and he screams, it gets me nervous. And honestly, I just can't ever really predict against him, I feel like. I mean, he'd have to show me something. He'd have to show me a weak chin or maybe, I don't know, maybe a lackluster ground game. I don't even know what he could show me to not have full confidence in him. He's a superstar, and all the superstar needs is the belt, I think, at this point.
That's a big statement right there.
That is. Alex Pereira, I mean, he deserves every bit of credit that he has right now. When he was fighting in middleweight, I know, like, we talked about this all the time, how big he looked just against Israel Adesanya.
Massive
against him. And when we moved up, what was the same thing we said, Andrew? He said he looked comfortable. He looked really, really good. I forget who his debut in the division was against.
Jan Blachowicz.
And guess who Jan Blachowicz beat when they moved up? Israel Adesanya. Yeah. So I just think it comes full circle. Alex Pereira, he's just awesome. I think a belt is in his future, but Yuri's crazy. Like, I would have loved to see a Jamal Hill-Yuri fight. I think maybe Yuri wins. I know he's coming off an injury. 29-3-1. His last fight was a win. Yuri's an animal. Nothing short of it. I just think maybe he runs away with this.
That's the thing with me. It's like Yuri is crazy. He's honestly kind of like a more successful Johnny Walker. That's how I've always kind of viewed him as like somebody that is explosive but also kind of controlled and can actually win fights. But I think the biggest question mark
is like a sane human being.
Well, I don't know about
They fight in a cage for money. Like, of course not. But, like, you know what I mean.
And also, like, some of the training videos Yuri posts. Like, I saw him, like, recently, like, in this park. Like,
calculated.
Park.
Calculated, I think, is the word. Yeah. Crazy, but calculated.
Yeah. But he was, like, doing eye training or something with one eye closed. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. But the biggest question mark, at least for me heading into this fight, is how is Yuri going to look when he re-enters the octagon? I mean, obviously, I think that ring rust does play some sort of a factor. He's been out since June of 2022.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be the biggest factor, obviously, since, you know, it's really only been a year. But, I mean, he did suffer a pretty severe shoulder injury that took him out of the game for a long time. Right. And he can say it's 100%, and he could say I'm feeling better than I ever have in my career. But, I mean, as we all know, fighters and athletes will just say just lie straight up.
What you said about the kind of time away, like you said it was only a year ago since he last fought. The time in between his last fight and Alex's last fight is over a year. Alex fought at the end of July, basically August. His schedule that he's been on has been so productive, Alex. I feel like he's constantly fighting, constantly keeping himself in the headlines and things of that nature, and just keeping his body fight ready throughout the entire year. And I think that's a big discrepancy. I think when you wait almost a year and a half to get back in the octagon and then you're staring across the ring at Alex Pereira, it's scary. Like, that's scary times. Like, when he throws, again, he does the arrow and he yells. Like, it's not for the weak of heart, and especially a guy who hasn't been in there in a while. I just don't think, to your point, Andrew, a lot of the things that Yuri does is very much instinctual, and he's a bit of a crazy, bit of a madman in there, and I think that instinctual kind of nature may deteriorate the longer you're not in the octagon. And with a guy like Alex, he's just gonna run right through you and is a destroyer. Obviously, if you have an intricate plan like a guy like Izzy did, even if that intricate plan was just to hit him with a two shot and knock him down, but I do and then make fun of his children, but whatever. But I do think that if you walk in with some sort of plan that's intricate and you really do your homework, Alex isn't that unbeatable, but I just don't think Yuri has that, and I think Alex is just going to run him over. I think Alex knows the stage he's on, where he is, what's at stake, and I just don't think he'll let it pass him by. That's my two cents.
I was kind of purgatory there. That was a very good point, Chris Carino. Yeah,
appreciate
I feel like it's a war of attrition. Like, how long have you been in here, and how, if you could go the distance, and straight up, Alex has been the more active fighter. Again, Yuri's been injured and he's been out. But with this momentum, I see Alex. I could see Alex Pereira win. I could see him moving up considerably in this division, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to talk about storylines, just in the past couple of months, obviously, Jiří Procházka has been on the mend, so there's not much in terms of storylines for him other than, you know, just the Blaine comeback one. But for Alex Pereira, I remember entering or exiting that Adesanya fight, the one that I lost, a lot of questions were, is this guy kind of cooked? If he moves up to light heavyweight, is the chin cracked? Is he actually going to make a difference? And also against somebody like a Jan Blachowicz, will he actually be able to negate the wrestling? I remember so many question marks heading into that fight. And honestly, I was not feeling the best about it at all. If I remember correctly, I think I picked him to lose that fight. But just a testament to his ability, time and time again, I feel like he's always upsetting people, whether it's the first Adesanya fight where he ended up knocking him out, or the Jan Blachowicz fight where he took just a couple months rest from that knockout loss, the second one to Adesanya, to come back against Blachowicz and then make a huge debut at a new division. I think that this guy is just, like you said, Chris, just ready for the spotlight in so many ways and just able to step in on a big moment's notice. But off the back of that, though, I think that Prochazka really recognizes the moment as well. So I keep flip-flopping back and forth on this fight because, I don't know, I always think back whenever I watch your Prochazka fight to when he fought Dominic Reyes and he had that crazy spinning elbow knockout. But that fight took so many twists and turns up to that point. I mean, he himself has said that, yeah, I got knocked out in that fight due to an upkick by Dominic Reyes, and I only came to. And the only reason that fight didn't get stopped was that the referee didn't notice.
I think your hesitancy is right, though, Andrew. Yeah. Like, I think there's serious fight of the year potential here. Like, these two guys could just battle after it, and it'll be awesome. I think it has serious potential for that.
And that's the thing also. I think that Jiří Procházka, like, he is kind of has a couple screws loose enough to the point where he'll just want to stay standing up against Alex Pereira and just duke it out with him. Like, I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah,
for
this
Jiří.
One. Wow.
Zach, do you have any any opinions that you want to put forth?
I mean, you saying that makes me nervous for Jiří because I feel like both of them are guys that keep their hands very low. Jiří in particular puts his hands really low, and I think Alex is just, we've seen it so many times over and over again. He has that one-shot power. He's so powerful, he could take, and we saw what he did to Sean Strickland. We saw what he did to Izzy. He could change a fight in one shot, and that's all it takes. And we look at Alex Pereira's, like, he's putting together a crazy resume. He's now, his last four fights are now against former or current champions, Sean Strickland, but two against Izzy, and then Jan Blachowicz. Now he's going to fight Jiří. He's putting together a resume. I don't think you can take experience from him anymore. You can't point at he's only had 10 MMA fights.
Yeah.
He's proved it.
It's pretty impressive that you mentioned that stat when he only has 6 fights in the UFC, period.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like
it. But look
at
who he's fighting.
Look at the resume.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
so,
night and day from the last fight we just talked about in a lot of ways.
I will say the outcomes of this fight are pretty, I think, I don't know, obvious, at least to me, like how this fight will pan out based on who wins. I think if Alex Pereira wins, I think we have like a legitimate new kind of megastar in the UFC. For him to be able to be this dominant and also just versatile from moving weight classes to fighting anybody. On the other side, I think if Jiří wins this, I think that makes a lot of interesting question marks in the light heavyweight division with Jamal Hill, a couple other guys. I think just any way this pans out, it's going to be good for the light heavyweight division. I'm really glad that it gets back on track, but I guess I'm getting around to the part that I was at least personally a little scared for myself, and that is giving out our predictions. For me, I think that, oh man, I still don't know. Chris, you go first. I don't know. I'm totally dishing it over to you.
Yeah, I think Alex runs him over. Like, I don't even think
runs
it's...
Runs him over.
As I said before, it seriously has fight of the year potential just from what you've seen these two guys do and see what they're willing to do to go win, especially, as I said before, maybe the biggest stage either of the two of them have fought on. But I just... Alex is a destroyer. He's a destroyer, especially a guy who hasn't been in the octagon since last June of 2022. Just to me, seems like a lamb for slaughter. Like I don't have a ton of analytical kind of evidence to back this up. But when you watch Alex do that ring walk, I think it's hard. Similarly to when me and Andrew were texting during Fury and Ngannou, I saw Ngannou do his ring walk, and I just immediately was like, he's gonna kill this guy. That's how I feel every time Alex walks to the octagon. I think when you see him walking to the octagon, you see him approaching this fight, you're gonna be like, wow, that guy's about to destroy him. Like, and I feel that way now, and I feel like I'll feel that way on the night of fight night as well.
Destroy, I feel like I wouldn't say destroy.
Dude, destroy.
I'll give it to Alex Pereira. I think the takedown defense, I was particularly,
he is the favorite.
He is the favorite.
Minus
yes.
125. It's close, but he is the favorite.
I'll give the slightest of edges to Alex Pereira. Again, when he moved up, the very first thing I said was he looked very, very confident against a big name in the division. And he's been active. I think those are the only two real reasons. And he's a destroyer. He's been had in the past. Again, is he with the big two shots? But I could see Alex Pereira holding a light heavyweight belt. I have to give him just the slightest edge here. But Yuri is very dangerous. I will say that.
Got you. Two Pereira picks.
You want?
Zach,
you
thinking?
Wait, hold on. You thinking decision? Decision, Matty?
It has to be a decision.
I'm thinking Alex KO inside three rounds.
Are you serious?
Inside three rounds.
That's a big pick right there.
Inside three rounds.
That's a huge. Okay, so I will say the power will be zapped from Yuri again, coming off of a shoulder injury. I know he's usually known for landing a lot of punches in a round. I think it's at like six per, but inside three rounds,
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
Someone's brave. Okay.
And by inside three rounds, it might be like the first round.
Yeah, that's a bold pick right there.
Zach,
decision.
I don't mind the inside three rounds pick. I think.
Wow. Okay.
This fight has a high potential to end in knockout, and yeah. I think if it does, it's going to be early because these guys both pack power. Alex packs a lot of power. I think Alex wins. I don't want to fully count out Yuri, but I just wonder if he's going to test the wrestling, and if he does, where that goes.
Yes.
But. I got to give it to Alex.
I guess I'll be the contrarian then.
Yeah.
I'm
wow.
going for Jiri. Jiri all the way. Jiri's got it. I think that
you're gonna get
it.
You're going to get a text on Saturday night from me. I guess.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's going to be in the pound for pound group chat.
Yeah.
I'm going to be regretting my pick right
yeah.
now. But hey, I think that Prochazka can legitimately get it done. And kind of what I said earlier, in a similar style to the Dominic Reyes fight, I think that Pereira definitely is technically better, and he might be better prepared. Physically as well, considering the injuries heading into this fight. But with that being said, though, just knowing how Yuri works, it's kind of with him, it's either kill or be killed. So I think off the back of that, he will find a couple moments to really make Alex Pereira pay. And off the back of that, I don't know if Alex Pereira will be able to really stick around. But I think that wraps up our UFC 295 talk. Before we go, I do want to mention a couple other things, and that is, yeah, it's all good, Zach. Listen, I was kind of going towards...
You was feeling the EDM.
I was going towards my outro. Don't worry.
I was wondering if you were going to just have it play as you were talking.
I don't want to rush him. I felt bad as soon as I
yeah.
clicked it.
Yeah, no worries. That definitely did sound like
Drew,
my outro.
All you.
But a couple,
all you, Drew.
A couple more minutes, though, before we go. I do want to mention three big title fights that Dana White recently announced, and that is Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley for the bantamweight belt. That should be an amazing fight. I'm really, really excited for that one. It is also the rematch of their first fight that ended in Sean O'Malley's first UFC loss. And also, I believe he was undefeated up until that fight, so a lot of interesting question marks there. Next, we got Sean Strickland versus Dricus du Plessis. Not the fight that we were initially expecting with Adesanya versus Du Plessis, where I had a bunch of storylines going into that.
Like Zach said before the show, it doesn't even feel real in a lot of respects.
Oh, yeah, no, like legitimately. I think Zach hit the nail on the head
there. I mean, we're in the upside down, right? Sean O'Malley's champ. I'm telling you, one day Paddy Pimblett's going to be champion lightweight. I don't know how it's
going
to happen. It's going to happen.
Over there.
It's going to happen.
It does feel, it feels like an alternate
universe.
Shout out
to the UK. Go on.
100%. But anyway, we got the last fight, and that is Alexander Volkanovski. He's moving back down to the featherweight division to defend his belt against Ilya Topuria. That should be an amazing fight.
Dang.
I'm so excited.
Can I just one quick thing on Volky?
Yeah.
I don't want him to fall into that Ferguson, like, it's hard to watch him fight, and, like, it's kind of sad. Like, yeah. we're not anywhere really near there yet, but the mentality he's fighting with and kind of just taking all these fights on and not really caring about himself and taking care of himself, I feel like we could fall into that, and I don't want to see that. He's such a great fighter.
Yeah. I definitely hope he makes a turnaround. Did you see Tony Ferguson training with, like, David Goggins?
I did. That was crazy. Yeah, Hell Week. Yeah, that was – that's. I don't even know what that could be. That's probably one of the more, like, interesting experiences ever.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Like, I don't even – that guy, Goggins, is scary. Like, I'm not letting that guy live with me.
Yeah, imagine interviewing that duo.
No. Oof.
That would be crazy.
Just, like, the eye contact would just melt me, probably.
Fair.
Sorry, come on, dude.
I think that just about wraps up this episode of Pound for Pound. Cue the music, Zach. There we go. Make sure to watch UFC 295 this weekend and our recap episode next week, breaking down all the results. As well, if you want to stay up to date with the fights as they're happening, I will be at the event live, so make sure to check out my Twitter, all that good stuff. Before I go, I want to give a huge thanks to my fantastic co-host, Chris Carino, and Mahdi Dembele. I also want to give a big thanks to our producer / extra host, Zach Cordova. I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.